This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. New legislation introduced by Senator Mike Johanns of Nebraska that would prevent the Environmental Protection Agency from regulating naturally occurring farm dust is welcome news for the nation's farmers and ranchers, according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. EPA is reviewing existing regulations for particulate matter, which includes soot and dust. Soot is generated by car emissions and factories. Dust occurs naturally. According to Stallman, planting and harvesting crops, livestock moving from place to place, and people driving down dirt roads are just a few of the ways dust occurs naturally on farms and in rural areas. The Agriculture Department announced a new rule that will ban the sale of ground beef tainted with six strains of E. coli bacteria that are linked as the cause of severe illness from food. The new rule will apply to six relatively rare forms of E. coli that will be regulated in the same way as the more common E. coli 0157H7 strain, which has caused deaths and illnesses and prompted the recall of millions of pounds of ground beef and other products, according to the New York Times. The beef industry said the new regulations aren't needed and could cause the price of ground beef to increase. The American Meat Institute emphasizes that safety measures already in place are sufficient. Due to a hot, dry summer over much of the Corn Belt, farmers were expecting USDA to show a big drop in its estimate for the nation's corn crop in its September crop production report released Monday, and that's just what happened. In its latest forecast, USDA pegged the U.S. corn crop at just shy of 12.5 billion bushels, down 3% from its August estimate. USDA is estimating yields to average 148.1 bushels per acre, down 4.9 bushels from its August projection. If realized, this would be the lowest average yield in the United States since 2005. While USDA is forecasting a drop in supply, it is also projecting a drop in demand for exports, ethanol use, and feed use. Still, AFBF cautions that supplies are very tight and demand remains strong. USDA announced Monday that after 10 years of negotiations, U.S. cherries can now be exported to Western Australia, making cherries the first U.S. fresh fruit to gain access to that market. The market opening positions Australia as the seventh most valuable export market for U.S. cherries. U.S. cherries from California have had access to the eastern states of Australia since the late 1990s, and Washington and Oregon have been permitted to export to the eastern Australian states since 2001. Since that time, negotiations have been ongoing between Biosecurity Australia and USDA to gain access for U.S. cherries to Western Australia, which maintains its own regulations. U.S. soybeans can be used to make food, feed, fiber, fuel, and now fields. Kansas State University recently installed AstroTurf game day grass on its football field. The turf's backing includes soy-based BioCell from Universal Textile Technologies. BioCell uses soy-based polyol technology developed with support from the soybean checkoff. Strong global demand, especially for pork and other protein-rich foods, was the primary driver behind higher retail prices at the supermarket during the third quarter of 2011, according to the latest American Farm Bureau Federation Market Basket Survey. The informal survey shows the total cost of 16 food items that can be used to prepare one or more meals was $53.12, up $1.95, or about 4% compared to the second quarter of 2011. Of the 16 items surveyed, 13 increased, 2 decreased, and 1 remained the same in average price compared to the prior quarter. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada said the Senate will soon begin debate on a bill designed to help retrain workers to lose jobs due to foreign competition, which sets the stage for President Barack Obama to submit to Congress pending trade agreements with Korea, Colombia, and Panama, according to Reuters. Reid plans to bring before the Senate a bill to renew the 50-year-old Trade Adjustment Assistance Program, which President Obama is insisting that Congress pass, along with the three trade pacts. Representative Kevin Brady of Texas said he believes a compromise has been reached between House Speaker John Boehner of Ohio and Senate leaders who move both the trade agreements and the trade adjustment bill. However, Reuters reports that neither Boehner's office nor the office of the U.S. Trade Representative have confirmed a deal. An Associated Press analysis of the programs designed to protect the nation's food supply after the September 11 attack reveals that the government has spent at least $3.4 billion on food counterterrorism in the last decade, but key programs have been bogged down by biosecurity, by bureaucracy. A key problem is that no single agency is in charge. Still, top U.S. food defense authorities maintain that initiatives have made the food supply safer and extensive investments have prepared the country to respond to emergencies, according to the Associated Press. No terrorist group has threatened the food supply since the September 11 attack. Lisa Jackson, administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, tells Politico that she has no plans to resign. When asked by Politico reporter Robin Bravender outside a meeting in the Senate Hart office building on Tuesday if she plans to leave the Obama administration, Jackson replied, "No, ma'am." Speculation has been swirling that Jackson would step down after President Obama earlier this month requested Jackson to withdraw draft ozone national ambient air quality standards. Jackson also told Politico that she would comply with the president's request to withdraw the tougher new ozone standards for coal-fired power plants and other smog emitters. Back-to-back tropical storms dealt a real blow to farmers in the Northeast, with the Farm Service Agency estimating the damage at $45 million in New York and $10 million in Vermont. FSA will continue to assess the damage in these two states, as well as Connecticut and Pennsylvania. Farmers in New York were particularly hard hit, first by Hurricane Irene, then by Tropical Storm Lee. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack announced that 27 rural electric cooperative utilities will receive funding for generation and transmission projects, distribution facilities, and smart grid technologies. These loans will create jobs and finance rural electric utility improvements benefiting more than 28,000 rural customers in 18 states. Vilsack also noted that USDA Rural Development is providing more than $35 million to finance smart grid technologies, such as advanced metering infrastructure, that utilities use to better manage electric supply and demand. Dallas Tongsiger, Rural Development Undersecretary, made the announcement on Vilsack's behalf during a speech in Minneapolis at a regional meeting of the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.